I am so grateful for what God done and what He done this week. Now, I'm going to tell you a couple little things God done for us up in Detroit. I mean, here I'm talking about all this power and what God will do. And then, of course, with 12 or 1,500 people the second night, you can't possibly say, now I'm going to pray for anybody that wants to be prayed for or come down here. You can't do that. So I said, now you folks have heard me talk about what causes sickness and disease. And it's sin. I said, now if you will repent of your sins and you will believe God, I will pray the prayer of faith from you from right here, and the King of the universe will meet your need if you'll get serious with Him. See, I said, I'm not the healer. I just get to pray the prayer of faith. But I said, the King is looking on each one of your hearts. And He knows what you're thinking right now. He knows if you're walking in faith. He knows if you repented. He knows if you're sorry for the sins you've committed this last week, or some of them you might have committed years ago. But I said, He knows. And I said, He's the healer. So I just said, Father, in Jesus' name. I looked out upon that mass of people and I said, Lord, I ask You to touch their hearts. I ask You to heal them and meet their needs. And I thanked Him for it. And I come down off the platform. The pastor went back up there. They call him Bishop. The bishop goes back up there and he stands around for a few minutes, says a few things. And then he says, by the way, did anything happen to anybody when Thurman prayed? And a little girl come running down. She said, both my knees were bothering me. They were hurting me like crazy. And said, the minute he prayed, my pain went away in both knees. Well, and all of a sudden, then there is another lady from way back in the back somewhere. All of a sudden, she starts screaming, and she comes running down the aisle over there, and he gives her the mic and says, what's wrong? And she can't hardly talk. She said, I went to the doctor today, and today they diagnosed me with a big lump in my breast, and it was malignant. I had breast cancer, and when he prayed, the lump disappeared. Thank you, Jesus. Now then, was Jesus there that day?
Oh, yes, He was.
Oh, yes, He was. He was there. And He was there. Now, you know, those people are not like y'all. You know, y'all get to hear about testimonies all the time. You know, I mean, I can remember when my daughter, I know how we are. I had prayed for a little boy on Christmas Day. It was Sunday a few years ago, and he was blind. And his mother called me and asked me if I'd come to Louisville in that snow and meet her and pray for her son. So I said, yes, ma'am, I'll be there. So I fought the snow. I drove over there. One of the worst snowstorms I'd seen in a long time in Texas. But I drove over there in all that snow. And I got there and I got in that little girl's office. And there was another lady there with her and her son. There was three of them. And I started teaching them the word. And about 2 hours into it, of course, I had a Bible then that I had all marked up with all the scriptures because I didn't know them near like I do today. This has been a few years ago. This woman just stopped and she said, Thurman, why don't they teach these things in church? I said, ma'am, I don't have a clue. But all I know is in the book. Everything you've shown me, she says, is in this book. She said, I would give anything for a book that's got all these promises in it like yours has. I said, I'll tell you what I'll do. When I get through teaching you today and pray for you, I'm going to give you my Bible. You can have it. She said, you would give me your Bible? I said, yes, ma'am. I can make another one. You know, I can do another one. So anyway, after about 4 hours, I said, okay, now it's time to pray for Raymond. So I got up and she repented of her sins and everything, and he repented of his sins, and he was about 16. And I got up there and laid my hands on his head, and I started praying for Raymond. And as I started rebuking the spirits, commanding him to leave and asking the Lord to open his little eyes, after about 10 or 15 minutes, I'd stop and I'd say, Raymond, can you see? He said, no, sir, I can't see a thing. So I did this for about 45 minutes. Now, this is nearly 5 total hours I've been with this woman and this boy. And I stop, and she said, Mr. Scrivener, can I pray for him? I said, well, yeah, go ahead. And so she gets up there and puts her hands on her little son's head, and she says, Mr. Devil, would you please leave my son? I told her, I said, Nancy, that's okay, sit down. I don't think that's going to do much. So she sat down, and I went after another 45 minutes, and after the 45 minutes was up, he still couldn't see. I said, "That's good, Raymond." I said, "You and your mama just go home, begin to worship and praise the King." I said, "He will open your eyes. All you need to do is just worship and praise Him. I've taught you the Word. I've still done it, and I've prayed the prayer of faith for you. I'm going to guarantee the King of the universe is going to open your son's eyes." And so I left and drove back home in the snow. 6 weeks later, I come home one afternoon from work, and my daughter's sitting there, and she said, "Oh, by the way, Daddy, Miss Nancy called today, and she said to tell you that Raymond could see this morning when he woke up." So I jumped up and down, began to scream and holler and do cartwheels. I praised God. I said, "Honey, how can you be so calm?" Well, she said, "Daddy, I get these praise reports every day." What a place to live, huh? In a home where you get praise reports like that to the point that you see a woman call and her son's blind eyes are opened and you just say, "Oh, Daddy, by the way, how wonderful it is." You know, God, you know the reason God does all the things He does for all of us? Because just like that song said a while ago, He's looking right in there. He knows you come to church today with a good attitude, or like me. I mean, mine was bad last night. You know, not too bad, but after a few minutes on the computer, "Hey, I'm praising the King, Tom. I'm praising Him. My house ain't sitting out here under a volcano." You know, I mean, praise God. You know, you just forget what we really have, don't we? We really do. You know, but I think about that woman up there at Detroit, how grateful she was. Screaming and crying and that big old lump on her body. And I thought, wow. So anyway, they invited us to come back. You know, and when the pastor said, "I've asked Thurman to come back in September," and he gave the dates, and he has agreed, well, the church of about 12 or 1,400 people, whatever is there, they went nuts. And I told him when we went to dinner, and I said, "Well, that's better than them throwing me out." So I, oh, goodness, praise the Lord. Anyway, last week we talked about being raised from the dead, and we talked about our resurrection bodies. So today, I'm going to go over to 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 1 through 12, and we're going to start out here in 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 1 through 12. We're going to see what, after all the problems I had and the things, I want to show you what God says pleases Him. Now, how many of you want to please the King? And if you don't want to please the King, you've got a problem. Because He wants you to please Him. And look at what it says. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 1 through 12. Verse 1, 1 Thessalonians 4. And this is in the King James. And unless Phil pulls it up with something else, it doesn't make any sense. Okay, NLT is okay. That's good. Both of them's great. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 1 and 2. "Finally, dear brothers and sisters, we urge you in the name of the Lord Jesus to live in a way that pleases God." That's a good way to start, isn't it? I urge you today to live in a way that will please God. Because, you know, if you don't please Him, you're in for something. And you ain't going to like it, are you, Jack? No. Now, I want to please the King. Now then, people said, "Well, you know God's merciful." In fact, there was two guys here yesterday came by the ministry center. They come down here from somewhere. I forget where they were from. But they thought, "Wow, we're Denton and we're only 12 miles from Argyle. Let's run out to the ministry center. There may not be nobody there." Or was it Friday? Whichever one it was. Anyway, it was on the 4th, whatever day that was. Friday. And they came out here and lo and behold, we were here. And so they spent some time. And when I was talking to these young men, they're middle-aged men, I said, "You know, God is merciful." And one of them said, "You know, if He wasn't merciful, now that I've got older," this right here is one old boy that had been dead a long time ago. I mean, almost all of us could look at that, couldn't we? "If He wasn't merciful, you think of some of the sins you've done, especially some of the things you did when you were younger. And some of them did those stupid things when you were older. That's what's so bad, you know. But He is merciful. But look what is finally. dear brothers and sisters, we urge you in the name of the Lord Jesus to live in a way that pleases God as we have taught you. Now then, let me tell you something today. Something I have observed everywhere I go. It doesn't matter where it is, what state it is, what color people are, what creed, what nationality. There's almost nobody in the church even that knows how to teach their people, their children, how to please God. They don't know. I mean, they think, I can come to church and then I get mad at you on the way home and talk evil about you and I'm pleasing God. I got news for you. That don't line up with the Word, does it, Tom? I mean, we just don't know how merciful God is. If He wasn't merciful, there wouldn't be one single one of us in this room that would be alive today. He would have swatted us like a bug. You know? We urge you in the name of the Lord Jesus to live in a way that pleases God, as we have taught you. Well, who's going to teach us this? You are doing this already. In other words, these people are living in a way that pleases God. And we encourage you to do so more and more. Not just a little bit. Keep pleasing the King. Walk holy. For you remember what we taught you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Okay, maybe we do, maybe we don't remember. Let's see what some of the things are. God wants you to be holy. Oh, holy? Surely not. You wouldn't have to be holy. What does that mean? Go to church on Sunday if you feel like it. You know? Talk evil about the guys during the week. You know, do a little cussing and swearing with the boys. Stop by the bar on the way home with the guys and hang out. Hey, that's not holy, is it? We don't know what the word holy means. I mean, especially men. I mean, I really get upset at men today that are Christians, that supposedly say they're Christians, that don't have a clue what it means to be a Christian. They really don't know. But women too, though. There's a lot of women out there the same way.
We're going to have to stop right there for today, but we'll start again tomorrow with a teaching. And if you'd like to have these teachings in their entirety, if you would just give us a call, we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. That's at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. And we'll send them to you free and postpaid. Or you can go to our website. You can listen to these teachings again from the website. Or you can get them free and postpaid from www.tlsm.org. www.tlsm.org. That's the Living Savior Ministries. There you can listen to these again, or you can order them free and postpaid, and many other teachings free and postpaid from our website. Praise the Lord Jesus.